Today, the Biden administration kicks off what it's calling a Summit for Democracy. This is a virtual meeting of officials from more than 100 governments. President Biden has said the summit is meant to curb a recession of democracy.
I wanted to host this summit because here is the here in the United States, we know as well as anyone that renewing our democracy and strengthening our democratic institutions requires constant effort.
And Americans should know. Less than a year ago, of course, rioters stormed the U.S. Capitol over election results. So what is the future of America's democratic experiment? Let's talk to Sylvia Albert at Common Cause, a watchdog group. She's director of voting and election programs there. Sylvia, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, let's start with this democracy summit. Given the democracy challenges around the world, does this come at a good time, both here and abroad?
Well, I think it highlights that even a democracy that has been seen as stable is still in danger of backsliding. It's not just a one and done. You put it up and then you can walk away.
Mm. Now, for years, Americans have gone around the world lecturing others about peaceful transition of power, about respecting the institutions of democracy. In your mind, what dangers does American democracy face today?
I'd say that American democracy is at the precipice in its weakest place since, I would say, the Civil War. At this point, what we're seeing is a coordinated attack on democracy at all levels.
Right. And tell me more about coordinated attack. I mean, many of us have heard about maybe what's happening at the federal level and national elections. But when you say coordinated attack, say at the state level, at the local level, what do you mean?
So at the local and state level, what we are seeing is an attempt to take power away from nonpartisan election officials and put that power in the hands of political operatives who would be interested and have spoken openly about overturning the election results of 2020. So we are seeing this in a variety of ways. We're seeing attacks, death threats to election officials. So we are seeing election officials exit for fear of their safety, and they are being replaced by some of these political operatives. At the same time, we're seeing state legislatures work to entrench further voter suppressive laws, maintaining power with extreme gerrymandering, and even putting laws in place to ensure the legislature themselves can overturn the will of the people.
Well, I mean, this is a lot here, and I guess stepping back, how do you think about how we got here? And certainly some listeners might go back to the 2020 election and the insurrection in January, but surely these warning signals, as you see them, go further back.
Yes, I would say, you know, people like to say that former President Trump is the source of the problem, and I would say that he exacerbates it, but I think he is a symptom of the larger disease. Our government has been attempting to increase participation, but we have seen over the last 20, 30 years, participation really shrunk. Civics education is non-existent in a lot of places, and you could really see after the 2000 election the feeling by a certain percentage of the population that the election was not fairly decided or that the Supreme Court itself decided the election. So at that point, that was a clear point where people were starting to really doubt that the democratic principles that we've been raised with and that we've held up were actually working in America.
So how do you turn this around? I mean, as you're describing, there are a lot of pieces of this. There's, voters' faith in the system. There's what's happening in state legislatures. There's what's happening in federal elections. I mean, when you think about one or two things that might be able to swing things the other way, what comes to mind?
I definitely think the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, which are exceptionally important. They lay out a uniform system to protect voters regardless of their race, their background, and their zip code. I'd also say the updating the Electoral Count Act, updating that to ensure that really the person elected and chosen by the people is placed in the presidency and not somebody chosen by political operatives.
Mm. And finally, I imagine there will be some who say, listen, our institutions remain strong. The insurrection did not succeed. Is there room in this conversation to say, you know what, the State of the Union may not be as fragile as some think?
Oh, absolutely. But what we're pointing out is that 2020 was a practice round, and the attempts that were made in 2020 that failed, things like decertifying state elections, failed because of a strong Democratic system, Democratic small d system, which with Republicans and Democrats in election official positions around the country that held the line. And what we're seeing now is those officials being removed and replaced with political operatives. So the attempt in 2020 showed what they need to change to get it right the next time. And so those are the things that are being attacked right now. So I don't think that we can sit on our laurels and say, it's fine, it didn't happen in 2020. Because, you know, I don't know where you were on January 6th, but that was a scene that I could not have imagined in America.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I think people have to remember that moment in time to remember where we are and how much at risk we are.
Sylvia Albert is Director of Voting and Election Programs at the watchdog group Common Cause. Sylvia, thanks for the time.
Thank you.